Today I want to build on the message series that I began last week. Last week we talked a little bit about superheroes, and we talked about how superheroes are kind of helping people behind the scenes, and that God has called us to be servants and to be those that help behind the scenes ourselves. And today I want to turn our attention to another subject matter, and that is superpowers. Superpowers, because you see, superheroes have superpowers. I don't know what your favorite superpower is. I was talking with my kids the other day, and they said, "Dad, we love telekinesis." I mean, it's that superhero power to move objects with your mind. Or teleportation. Maybe you can go from one place to another and, you know, you don't even have to move. Or maybe you have the strength of Superman, or maybe you're a great admirer of Superman's capacity to fly, or the body mass of the Hulk, oh my goodness, or maybe the speed of Flash Gordon. We admire those superhero powers, don't we? In fact, you need to lean over to that person next to you. You need to tell them what your favorite superhero power is, just real quick. Just do real quick. Yeah. As a kid, I loved the shape-shifting. I don't know if you guys remember this really old school superhero. They were called the Wonder Twins. Did you guys ever know the Wonder Twins? Okay, the millennials are like, I don't know what this is, but they would fist bump. You got to look this up on YouTube. They would fist bump, and they would say, "Wonder Twin powers activate." And then one would say, "Form of," like an eagle, and then that twin would become an eagle, and then "Form of water," and then the other one would become water, and then they would, like, help people. It was awesome, okay? So you can Google that, okay? Today, the Justice League has a dude named Martian Manhunter that can do shape-shifting, okay? That's like the 21st century version of the Wonder Twins. But I always loved the Wonder Twins. But I think perhaps one of the greatest superpowers might have been Wonder Woman. I mean, Wonder Woman had some power, didn't she? And the best thing about Wonder Woman, if you remember like the old TV show, she would find like a private place, like she would look around like a bathroom or a room or an empty hallway, and then what would she do? She would spin around, right? Do you guys remember it? She would spin around, and what would happen when she would spin around? She would have this magnificent transformation. She was like the nerdy secretary with the big glasses and the bun. And then all of a sudden she would start spinning, and she would come out of the spin, and her lipstick bright red was perfect, and her hair was perfectly curled, and now it was down. And she had on that like Wonder Woman swimsuit, and she had the lasso on the side and the red high-heeled stiletto boots that came up to her knees, and she was ready for action. And that's what I call the power of instant beautification right there. How awesome would that be if you could just wake up in the morning and you could just start spinning your way into beauty? Whoa! Superpowers. Superpowers. I want you to know today, every follower of Jesus Christ has superpowers. The Bible calls them spiritual gifts. God has endowed spiritual abilities in your life that are not normal. Did you know that today? I want you to lean over to the person next to you and say, "I'm gifted. I'm gifted." Do you know that in Christ, you're gifted? In Christ, you're gifted. In Romans chapter 12, the Bible outlines for us what it means to live and to practice the divine empowerments of God. The divine empowerments of God. And Christians who are really successful, Christians who are not swerving, are people that learn to leverage the strengths and the gifts and the abilities that God has put into their lives. I first began to get acquainted with this when I was a kid. I was 7 years old. I was taking piano lessons. My mom was determined I was going to be a great musician. And I got to tell you, taking piano lessons was truly the most miserable experience of my life. I mean, it was rough. I respect musicians. I respect it. I love music, but it was rough. And so 7 years old, I'm in there like practicing 30 minutes a day, banging it out, you know, all this kind of stuff on the piano. My four-year-old brother could sit down, not even having been to a piano lesson, not even having really heard the song other than my version, and he could play the song by ear better as a four-year-old than I could play as a seven-year-old with lessons. He was gifted. He was gifted. And today my brother is a concert pianist. Oh, and he's gifted. He's gifted. He's a virtuoso, man. He can play it. I didn't get that gift. I didn't. God gave me other gifts. God gave me other gifts. But God didn't give me that gift. God has gifted every person differently. Every person is a little bit different. Today we want to celebrate the differences that God has put into our lives. And that's why Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul begins to illustrate this. Look with me if you would, beginning in verse 4. The Bible says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. And if your gift is serving others, then serve them well. And if you're a teacher, teach well. And if your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. And if it's giving, give generously. And if God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. There's four things today about spiritual gifts, and then I want to break down some of these individual gifts. But the Bible tells us, first of all, there are many different kinds of gifts. If you look throughout the whole New Testament, there's probably between 20 and 30 different gifts, depending on how many of them overlap and how many of them are the same, because some books of the Bible may talk about the same gift, but they just may use a different word, but they may be different, and theologians argue about that, and the exact number is not really what's important, but the point is that there's just a lot of them. There's a lot of varieties. Romans chapter 12 is not an exhaustive list. That's just the beginning. When you go to 1 Corinthians, you go to Ephesians chapter 4, you see many more. But the Apostle Paul is saying to the Roman church that there are many different kinds of gifts. And therefore, I should not project my gifts on you and to expect you to serve exactly like I serve, because we're different, right? Gift projection is when I look at others and go, why can't they be like me? You know? But there also should not be gift envy, too, where we look at the gifts of other people and go, man, I wish I could do it like she does it, you know? We want to help you find out who you are, who you are. So there's many, many different kinds of gifts. There's many gifts. No one gift is given to everyone. Nobody's a carbon copy of somebody else. We're all a little different. And we should pursue the gifts, you know. Just because you may have the gift of teaching doesn't mean that you shouldn't be merciful. Obviously, you should in Christ. But what this means is that there's a certain lane that when you run in that lane, it's supernatural. It's the power of God in your life. God has given you capabilities that are above average, okay? You're not just normal when you're here, right? And when we find that lane, we run as fast as we can, and we serve Jesus Christ with all of our hearts. So there's many different kinds of gifts. But the scripture goes on and it says this. Secondly, each gift matters. It's not like there's some gifts that are important and others that are not. There are some gifts that are more visible, okay? And there's some that are more behind the scenes, but that doesn't mean that the gifts that are behind the scenes are less significant than the ones that are more visible. Are you feeling me today, church? Yeah. So they're all important. Everybody contributes to the team. When the team wins, it's because everybody is doing their job. When the team doesn't do their job, it's hard to win, isn't it? And I think that this analogy that's used here of the body is a beautiful picture today. He says here, if you look at verses 4 and 5, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. It's just like a body, you know, you got all these organs, and they're all working in conjunction with one another. That's the church. That's the church. I think if the apostle was giving a 21st century analogy, he might add team to the deal. I mean, if you're going to have a winning football team, you got to have players that play different roles, right? First of all, there's like 11 guys on the field at a time, and then you got an offense and a defense, and you got special teams. And you could be a great running back, but if you don't have an offensive line to block for you, it's going to be tough, right? You can be the most gifted wide receiver in the NFL, but if the quarterback can't throw you the ball, you got to work together as a team. It's a team. The body works together. The team, the football team, works together, hopefully. When it doesn't, you lose. You got to have a great defense, but you got to have a great offense. You got to be able to score points, and you got to be able to stop points. You got to be able to do both. It's all working together. So each gift matters, the Bible says. Each gift matters. Now, if I was up here jumping rope, that would not just be a function of the muscular system. That would be a function of the respiratory system because I'm increasing my breathing, right? And it would be a function of the circulatory system because my heart would be beating faster and blood would be pumping through my body. And it would be a function of the digestive system because the food that I ate for breakfast this morning is being transformed into energy for the body. It's all working together. That's what the church is to be about. That's a picture of what we do as a local congregation. Each person is doing their part, and in the end, the team wins. So every gift matters. Now, in football, only 11 people are on the field at one time. But in the body of Christ, guess what? We could have hundreds and thousands of little organs and little cells and little things doing their thing, adding to the mission and the purpose in which God has given to us here in the church. I think to help us understand that, I brought a little something to you guys. I brought some guacamole. Anybody love guacamole? I'm going to just have a little bite here. Do you guys mind? I made this for you guys last night. I was thinking about you guys. I was in the spirit. Mmm. I'm telling you. I've got this special recipe. I can't even tell you what I put in this, but it's amazing. It really is. It's fantastic. In fact, you know what? I feel very generous today. Would somebody like to test my guacamole? Somebody just want a little bite? Somebody brave enough to give that? Come on. Come on, Latasha. Come on up here. Get just here. Here you go. Just get one right there. Just get. I got three chips. No. I got three chips. How is it? Is that good? Okay, all right, good. I'm making sure that I'm doing right. When I eat my special recipe here of guacamole and my chips, my teeth have to chew it up. My tongue has to push it down my throat. Then the enzymes in my stomach have to break it down. And then the energy that is produced from that is pumped out to the other parts of my body. The body has to work together. It's a function of many, many different organs and different cells. And, oh, my goodness. And that's how I benefit from eating some guacamole. I love that stuff. Next time you eat some guacamole, you can think about me. Because that's one of my favorite dishes. The Bible says this. Spiritual gifts are also a mark of grace in your life. It's a mark of grace. See, you don't earn your spiritual gifts. It's not like God says, you know what, she's really been being good. I'm going to make her a prophet. You know? I'm real impressed with him. I'm going to make him a teacher. No. Gifts are a mark of grace. That's the grace of God in your life. And God chose the gifts that he's given to you. Did you know that? You don't pick the gifts. You receive the gifts, but you don't pick them out. The greatest thing we can do is to learn to leverage the things that God has already put into us instead of trying to have the gifts that everybody else has. See, there's a purpose that God has for your life. And the more that you use your time on the things that God that line up with the things that God has put in you, the more successful that you'll be in all that you do. How about that? Spiritual gifts, they're a mark of grace, aren't they? Look at verse 6 again. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. That's grace. That's grace. I was visiting one of my high school friends, high school and college friends, actually. He is a pastor in the Springs, and I was down there visiting his church. And he's one of my closest and most long-term tenured friends. He knows all the dirt on me, and I know all the dirt on him. I mean, we have been bros for a long time. We used to double date. I mean, we have been buddies forever. And we both ended up pastoring in Colorado. We're not really from here, but, I mean, we both ended up here. And I don't know, that's just kind of funny sometimes how God, you know, orchestrates that. And I was down there, and I was looking at his church a few months ago, and it's a great church in Colorado Springs. I mean, a great church. He's a great leader. And I looked around, and I thought about my friend from high school, and I thought about my friend from college, and I said, isn't it amazing what God can do in someone's life? This is grace. This is grace. See, I don't know what you've been into or how you have fallen or where you're struggling today. I want you to know something. God can use you. God can use you. Oh, if you'll let him. You know what? Every Christ follower has at least one spiritual gift. You might have several, but you got at least one. And when you begin to find out what that is and to run in that, you are an emblem of the grace of God. You're like, oh, it's a picture of grace. That's why verse 6 says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts. And our gifts allow us to excel in those certain areas. Do you know that? See, when you're gifted in an area, you excel. There may be some other things where maybe you're not as strong over here. But you get over here, wow, it starts to happen. Like my brother on the piano, you know? You're running in your lane. Now, spiritual gifts are not abilities. Spiritual gifts are something that are divinely empowered by God. Do you develop gifts? Of course you do. Of course you do. I mean, you know, the more that you serve and the more that you use the gift, the stronger the gift gets within you. If you don't use the gifts that God gives you, guess what? Yeah, it's not going to grow in you. So are you using the gifts that God has put into your life? Are you using those things? Are you using those things? Now he goes on and he gives a list here of several different things. And I would say this too. The greatest way to find your gift is to start serving. That really is. Now, some people are like, I want to start serving. I want to read 5 books about spiritual gifts and find my gift. No, 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 no. You don't need to become a librarian, okay? What you need to do is start serving, okay? You start serving. And then you just like, you're like, does this fit? And if it doesn't fit, then you say, hey, ministry leader, pastor, whoever's working with you, hey, I think I may be best suited for something else. Is that cool? And everybody will be like, high five. Yeah, absolutely. What can we do to help? You know? Yeah, you can go over there. Nobody's going to have their feelings hurt. We just want you to find your spot. But you find your spot by getting in the game. If you're sitting on the bench, you never know what your capabilities are. Okay? So you start serving. And he starts this list with this gift called prophecy in verse 6. And he says, so if you have been given the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Prophecy is speaking the word of God with boldness. That's what it is. Prophets, people that have this gift of prophecy, it's different from prophets in the Old Testament, okay? I'm not calling you Isaiah or Jeremiah. But if you have the spiritual gift of prophecy, you speak the word of God with boldness. And sometimes that may be a little controversial. Sometimes that may kind of step on people. And I think if you have the spiritual gift of prophecy, sometimes you have to be tactful, okay? Amen? Because you can blow people away with what you see and what you think. And just because you have the spiritual gift of prophecy doesn't mean that everything you say is exactly right or that your opinions are always perfect. Let me just put that little disclaimer there on the prophets before people go prophetic crazy, okay? But there is something powerful about speaking the word of God with boldness. Is there not? Do we not need people in the body to speak the word of God with boldness? And notice what he says. This is the description. Look at this. Speak out with as much faith as God has given to you. In other words, you ought to be inspiring faith in people who are listening to what you're talking about. How about that? We have a friend like that that lives in another state, and we've talked about starting our church with her, and you know, she's been a longtime friend, really good friend of Gina's, and we're a couple friends with them. And she speaks the word of God with boldness. And I mean, it's not just blowing smoke up your skirt, but I mean, she will like say, "Man, I see this, and I want to affirm this." And of course, you guys can do that. And I'm always leave a conversation with her going, "That is amazing. Thank you. Thank you for speaking the word of God with boldness." How about that? That's what prophecy is. The Bible says, listen, if you have that gift and you see things and God puts that in your heart, then, man, share it and build the body. Speak out with as much faith as is given to you. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. The apostle in another scripture says this, "But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort." How about that? So we got to speak the word of God to build people up. As prophets, sometimes there is a need to confront things, and certainly the Bible talks about that. But I think the primary usage of the gift of prophecy is edification. It really is building people up. Read the scripture on that if you're confused. Here's the second thing. He goes on and he says serving. And if you serve, if you got the gift of serving, then serve others well, he says. And I've found that as we've done spiritual gift tests in our 301 class, that probably the number one gift in our church is serving. It probably is the number one. I don't know what it is. People just generally, and I've been in other churches where that's true too, people love to serve. That's awesome. Service is a great, great gift. Amen to that. And the Bible says, listen, if you love to help other people and you love to get behind the scenes and do stuff, and you know what? It isn't really that big a deal if you get noticed or not. You're just glad to help empower people. Then the Bible says, serve well. Right, get your hands dirty, okay? Don't be a lazy servant. Don't do that. Servants look for practical needs. They look for practical ways that they can make a difference in their life. And it brings them joy when people succeed that they have helped. And they're great with other people being on the stage and them being kind of backstage and nobody kind of knows who they are. That's the service. Hey, I'll just do kind of whatever is needed. Some people, serving wears them out. Other people, it turns them on. Do you know that? If you have the gift of serving, like, you can't get enough of it. You're like going to like serving machinery, like, you know, you're on it because you just love it. God has put you there. Does God want everybody to serve? Of course he does. Are there certain people that have greater capacities to serve others than some other folks? Absolutely. Yeah, that's true too. So we all serve, but some of us that just have that divine empowerment and from God. And it brings us such joy to do so. He goes on and he says, teaching. Service, teaching, prophecy, teaching. He says, if you can teach, then you ought to teach. And the teaching gift is the ability to take complicated truths from the Bible and to explain them in simple ways to people. That's what it is. It's communicating the word of God. And Romans 12:7 says, if you can teach, then you ought to teach. You know? I mean, you know, like, let's don't make this complicated. He goes on and he says, encouragement. Encouragement. Another word that's used in the Bible for the gift of encouragement is exhortation. And this actually is one of my gifts, so I may have a little more insight into this one than maybe some others just by virtue of my own experience. I preach out of this gift, by the way. If you're a guest here and you don't really know me, there's some preachers that are more teacher people, and there's some that are more prophet people. I'm an exhorter. I'm an encourager. That's my voice, okay? That's the lane that I run in when I preach. So there's encouragement. And exhortation or encouragement is a gift that gives people precise instructions about what they need to do. Exhorters love to give step-by-step solutions to problems, okay? And you know, like, okay, there's a problem. Okay, here, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do that. And sometimes exhorters can be a little bossy sometimes, okay? Amen? Okay? I can be that way a little bit. Sometimes, see, I got two problems. Number one, I'm exhorter, and I have to exhort. And then sometimes, and I'm a man, too. So that's a bad combination. So, but, like, I'll be talking to my wife, and she'll be telling me a problem. and I will go into heavy exhortation mode. I'm like, okay, you got a problem, you need to bop. And I'm listening off, and she's like, Ryan, I just wanted you to listen. You know, I just wanted you. And so if you're a man, you got to work even harder at this. So I go deep into my closet, and it's real deep, but I have this mercy hat in there somewhere, and I can pull that thing out, and I can put on the mercy hat, and then I can come over and be a good husband. I can say, now, honey, let's talk, you know. But the exhortation gift is powerful. It is awesome. It's a gift to the body. Sometimes we need step by step, don't we? Sometimes we need some instructions. Sometimes we need to motivate and to encourage people. And exhorters love to see people reach their potential. See, I'm going to exhort you to walk in faith. I'm going to exhort you to give your life to Christ. I want to encourage you. I want to motivate you. I want to inspire you to do so. Exhortation. Giving is also mentioned on this list. Somebody just thought, wow, that sounds like the plague, the gift of giving. It really is a spiritual gift. Did you know that? Now, is everybody to give? Of course. You know, we talk about that a lot here at Edge Church. Some people have the spiritual gift of giving. I mean, they love to give. I mean, we're having a special offering, and they're salivating. It's awesome. I mean, they can't wait. It's fantastic. Man, if you have the gift of giving, give. Give. Giving people love to be behind the scenes, man. They don't need their name on a plaque on the wall out here at the church. They're not necessarily looking for a banner or an award, but they love to give, and they love to see life change happen as their generosity as their generosity flows out. And listen, you cannot outgive God. So if you're a giver, you give. And you know what? God will keep giving back to you. You're just a holy conduit. It's what you are. And the gifts of God are flowing through you. So exercise the gift. Don't be a stingy person with the gift of giving. Amen? Is that right? Stir up that gift within you. Do it. He goes on and he adds leading to the list here. And leaders are visionary people who are entrepreneurial in spirit. Leaders, people with the spiritual gift of giving, they motivate people, they organize tasks, they administrate, they initiate, and they give direction. That's what leaders do. Some of you have the spiritual gift of leadership. Greg was up here a minute ago. That's probably one of his gifts. I haven't pinned him down on that, but I just know him and work with him. He's a great leader. He really is. God has given him abilities. Leaders motivate and encourage people to want to play on their team. That's what they do. And they love setting goals, and they love reaching the goals, and they love breaking big picture projects down into little bitty steps, okay? And they're self-starters. They just start things. And this was me as a church planner. You know, this one and the exhortation are probably, you know, two of my gifts. And as a church starter, you know, we moved here. We didn't know anybody. I drew up a 10-page prospectus that said we need to raise this much money, we need this many people, we need to find this facility, we need to have this equipment, and blah, blah, blah. We need to pray about these things. And then we started working the plan, and then I started knocking on doors, and some people thought that I was a member of a cult group and thought I was kind of weird and that I was going to serve some weird Kool-Aid if they came to my living room for a Bible study. But I got people over that, and then we got a church, and we started meeting over at a school, and then we outgrew that school, we moved into another school, and then we outgrew that school, and we moved into this building, and then we bought this building, amen, last September. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. When we operate in the gifts that God has given to us, guess what happens? Yeah. Ministry expansion, life change. It's awesome. It's fun. Oh, it's fun. It really is. We need the leaders to lead. And if God's put leadership in you, lead. He closes by talking about mercy. And mercy is a great gift. I'll tell you this. The mercy people here today, you guys are some of the best friends to have. If you're a mercy person and you really use that gift, you will always have friends in your life. You really will. And he says, man, if you got the gift of mercy, then love somebody, be merciful, cry with people. These are the people that hug people all the time. These are the people that pray for you when all the leaders forgot to pray for you because they were so busy thinking about the big picture and the vision. The mercy people, they were praying for you late at night. They were. and they care and they nurture other people vicariously through other experiences. They're sensitive. And Romans 12 says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. In other words, take the gifts that God has given to you and don't swerve, but serve. Don't swerve, but serve. Don't be lazy, but work hard and serve enthusiastically. Develop those gifts. Develop those gifts and do great things for God. Let's pray together today. I want to pray.